Thank you, Father.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the Eveleth Taconite Company, I wish to thank you all for joining us today in our groundbreaking ceremony. We are pleased at the fact that several of you came from what we know is a long distance. We are honored by your presence. We are glad to have all of you here, and I hope I'm not being presumptuous when I say I think maybe you're glad to have us here too. I hope we're as lucky in the Taconite Project as we've been on the weather today. Father, the Lord was with us. You know, I'll let you in on a little secret. As you know, planning a Taconite Project takes a lot of work, but planning a groundbreaking ceremony takes a lot of advanced planning. So several weeks ago, we contacted one of these long-range weather forecasters to get some idea of what it would be like up here this week. Now, you know, this weather forecasting has become quite a fancy profession. Since the Madison Avenue boys have taken it over, we've got beautiful and glamorous girls giving us the late evening rundown and the early morning rundown. I suppose the theory is that maybe the news is bad, but you feel good. But what do you think the weather forecast for June 3rd, 1964 said? And this came from Denver, Colorado. Widespread showers and thunderstorms. Well, seriously, it was with this forecast in mind that we had to prepare with tents and all of the other materials that you see around. Maybe this forecaster was the same fellow that predicted that your Twins last year would finish ahead of the Yankees. Or maybe he's the fellow, by the way, who left a few years ago and wrote an article in one of these national publications and said, the old Mesabi Range is exhausted, petered out, it'll never come back. Well, personally, I'm confident that it can and that it will come back, given the proper environment and the proper encouragement. From the time we began to organize this project, we have enjoyed the finest cooperation and willingness to help from Minnesota's elected officials and representatives and from Minnesota's people. This has been one of the most important factors in the decision to rely upon the good faith of the people of Minnesota and to demonstrate our good faith. No one has demonstrated this spirit more than your governor. The governor has joined with us today, and it is my honor and pleasure to introduce him to you. The governor has followed the development of this project with great interest, and I might say he has been most cooperative and helpful as we have sought to overcome the many problems which must be solved in an undertaking such as this one in order to succeed. Ladies and gentlemen, the Honorable Carl F. Rovog, Governor of Minnesota.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dwyer, Mr. Patterson, the Ford Motor Company, Mr. Sloan of Ogilvie Norton, the managers and the operators of this Taconite facility, Congressman Blotnick and Senator McCarthy, our elected constitutional officers, former Governor Elmer Anderson, Dr. Mayo, the mayors of the several villages and cities here, community leaders, and interested citizens. This is indeed a genuinely historic moment for the Iron Range. Indeed, it is so for the entire state of Minnesota. This gathering is tangible proof that the hope of large-scale taconite mining industry in the state, which we have so long nourished, is indeed no mirage. The bulldozers are ready to move. The construction is about to begin. The new enterprise being launched here today is in itself a magnificent development. We are encouraged to hope that it signals undertakings similar to it yet to come. Here is visible product of what is called a good business climate. Without it, we could not expect industry to make the kind of investment that is required to transform inert earth into machines and products of everyday living, and to provide the jobs and the payrolls that sustain our state's economy, our state's health, and our state's society. A mining operation like this most effectively dramatizes the essential role of business investment. The mine itself, with its huge earth-moving operations, will be right here on this ground. 10 miles away will be a plant where the ore will be crushed, milled, and pelletized. Along with the dam and the St. Louis River, these will require an investment of some over $45 million of dollars. Without that investment, none of this could happen. We are proud, incidentally, that some of this ore will find its way back to Minnesota in steel for the frames, the bodies, the engines, and other component parts for the Ford automobiles assembled at our Twin Cities plant. I think it is important that Minnesotans understand that our state has no monopoly on the kind of ore that is about to be mined on this site. It is available elsewhere. Ford Motor Company and the Ogilvie Norton Company are demonstrating here not only their interest in developing a vast natural resource of our state, but at the same time their faith in the sound judgment of our people. For it is ultimately the people whose attitude and actions determine the business climate in any state or in any community. It is up to us to respond to the good faith these major corporations have evidenced by giving full assurance in November that the taconite industry can continue to count on fair tax treatment in our state. Anyone who questioned the taconite amendment could actually help clear the way for bringing sizable new mining operations into the state certainly must have had his or her doubts resolved by now. We in Minnesota, for our part, can now regard the proposed amendment as a good faith amendment. Today can be a milestone in shaping a vigorous new era on the Iron Range. And it is indeed a day in which all Minnesotans take satisfaction, and in which all Minnesotans pay tribute to all those who have gone on in government, in legislature, in state departments, in Minnesota labor, organized steel workers, in the mining companies, and the corporations, and the financial institutions that have made this day possible. As governor, I take pride in congratulating all those who have played a significant role in the culmination of this moment. Thank you very much.
Governor Rovach, thank you very much. What he means is this. Now, get with it. Now I'd like to introduce you to some of the people who are here on the platform. Certainly, we're very happy and proud today to have with us a United States Senator, and I am pleased and honored to introduce to you the Honorable Eugene McCarthy. United States Senator from Minnesota, Senator McCarthy. Senator McCarthy has been most helpful to us in guiding the progress of legislation for a dam needed on the St. Louis River not far from here to provide a reservoir for water for our project. We're also honored in having with us the congressman from the 8th District. I don't think I need to tell you about your congressman, I know that. But I know this fellow personally, and I know that he has had his heart and soul in the development of the taconite industry for more than 25 years. It didn't matter whether I ran into John at an airport or on an airplane or exchanging season's greetings, he always began with, "Is there anything I can do to be helpful? If there is, just drop me a line." Well, he got his chance recently when he sponsored the legislation in the House of Representatives to approve this dam, and he did a splendid job. Congressman Blatnick, it's real nice to have you with us. Now we have a number of Minnesota state officials, and I would like to introduce them to you. First, there is the Lieutenant Governor, A.M. Keith, better known as Sandy, I believe. Sandy? Then we have the Secretary of State, the Honorable Joseph Donovan. And we have the watchdog of your tax money, Val Bjornson, the State Treasurer. And next, your Attorney General, a real helpful fellow to us in this project, Walter F. Fritz Mondale. Chairman of the Railroad and Warehouse Commission, Ronald L. Anderson. The Mayor of Evola, Donald Jarvie. By the way, in introducing Mayor Jarvie, I want to point out that the community of Evola has a taconite celebration going on in connection with this ceremony. There's a pancake luncheon, for those of you who don't worry about the calories. Nationality groups will be selling some of their special nationality dishes, and there's a big parade tonight at 7 o'clock. So if any of you are around tonight, why don't you join with the citizens of Evola in celebrating what they really think and we think and hope is a wonderful project. Now I want to introduce the chairman of the Mesabi Mountain Township, in which a part of our mine is located, Russell Jacobson. And the chairman of McDavitt Township, where our plant will be located, Henry Koistinen. And the mayor of Virginia, Ernest Johnson. Now we come to some of the corporate officers of the companies who have made this project possible. Mr. D.J. Bracken, Vice President Stamping, Assembly, and Steel Group for the Ford Motor Company, and a director of the Evola Taconite Company. Mr. Earl G. Ward, Vice President Purchasing, Ford Motor Company, and a director of the Evola Taconite Company. Mr. G. A. Peterson, Senior Vice President of Ogilvy Norton Company, and a director of Evola Taconite Company. Mr. T.H. Mecki, Jr., Vice President, Public Relations, Ford Motor Company. Mr. W.D. Hamilton, Vice President, Mining, Ogilvy Norton Company. Mr. R.L. Bedore, Manager of Mining Properties for the Ford Motor Company. And the man on the firing line for us, your friend and neighbor, D. Kelly Campbell, General Manager, Evola Taconite Company. Do few minutes ago, you heard the governor address himself to the Taconite Amendment, which will be voted upon by the people of Minnesota this November. Certainly, the Mayo Citizens Committee for the Taconite Amendment is doing a superb job in bringing this issue before the people. And I would like for you to meet some of the individuals working with the Mayo Committee. There are, of course, many devoted people and groups here on the Iron Range, in Duluth, and elsewhere. And I honestly wish we could pay our respects to each and every one of them. But I do want at least to introduce the officers and members of the Mayo Executive Committee who are here. Of course, we have already heard from Governor Rovog, who is the chairman ex officio of the Mayo Committee. And I am sure that by now almost all of you know Dr. Charles Mayo, one of Minnesota's outstanding citizens and the chairman of the committee working on behalf of the Taconite Amendment. We also have Dr. Mayo's alter ego when it comes to Taconite, his very capable and efficient executive secretary of the committee, Mrs. Rita Shemesh. Two vice chairmen of the committee are here, Earl T. Bester, director of District 33 of the United Steelworkers of America. Mrs. Scott Shane of Redwood Falls, Minnesota, past president, I believe, of the Minnesota Federation of Women's Club. Maybe I should have said vice chairwoman of the Mayo Committee. Members of the executive committee who are here include Lieutenant Governor Keith, Val Bjornson, and Walter Mondale, whom I have already introduced, and also Congressman Blatnick. Then we have former Governor Elmer L. Anderson, who has done so much to carry the Taconite story, its potentials, and its problems to all corners of the state, and who was extremely helpful to us in the days when we were organizing this project. Mr. Robert Forsyth, chairman of the Republican Party in Minnesota. Now, there's one that's missing here today, the honorary chairman, and that's Dr. E.W. Davis. But I would say he's got a pretty good excuse, this being his golden wedding anniversary. Well, there, ladies and gentlemen, are the members here present of the Mayo Executive Committee, or call it the Mayo Citizens Committee for the Taconite Amendment number one. Is that right, Rita? Okay. They deserve your wholehearted support, vocal, financial, and electoral. There are many others in Minnesota who have worked diligently to help us get here today. Their pledges and their assurances have been very important factors in the realization of the Eveleth Taconite Company. And those present and those not present, we thank them, each and every one. Now it's high time, I think, we hear from some others who have played the key roles in making this project possible. Our next speaker, C. William Kahn, general manager of Ford Motor Company's steel division, is a veteran of 40 years in the steel industry. He joined Ford in 1947 as a superintendent in the Rouge Steel Mill and was named manager of open hearth and electric furnace operations in 1947. He was appointed steel division production manager in April 1954 and assistant general manager in July 1960. As general manager, Mr. Kahn is responsible for the Ford Motor Company steelmaking complex at the Rouge manufacturing area, including coke ovens, blast furnaces, open hearths, and rolling mills. The production and distribution of power and utilities for the entire Rouge area and the Marine Department operating five Great Lakes carriers also come under Mr. Kahn's supervision. Mr. Kahn was born in Cincinnati, Ohio, and attended Bradley College, Peoria, Illinois. He is a member of the American Iron and Steel Engineers and past national chairman of the Open Hearth Committee of the American Institute of Mining and Metallurgical Engineers. As you can see, Mr. Kahn has been in the steel business most of his life, and obviously he's been a very successful steel maker. The performances of the Ford Steel Division, especially under his leadership during the past few years, has been expertly described as one of the most impressive in the steel industry. Its growth, efficiency, and modernization reflect imaginative leadership. Introducing Bill Kahn puts me in somewhat of a dilemma. If I introduce him as the president of the Evelyn Taconite Company, I'm introducing him as my boss. If I introduce him as the general manager of the steel division of Ford, I'm introducing him as a customer. But in either capacity, it's a real pleasure to introduce our most delightful fellow, your host today, the president of the Evelyn Taconite Company, C. William Kahn.
Thank you, Jack. I just told Mr. Dwyer that I hardly recognized the man he was describing. I had to look around, see where he was. The honor I felt a while back at being elected president of Eveleth Taconite Company is matched by the satisfaction I feel today as one of the hosts for this occasion. When I anticipate the fact that eventually Eveleth Taconite will have men and machines working in a pit, perhaps 200 feet below the spot where this group is now assembled, I confess to feeling nothing but pride. I never thought I would be so pleased to be involved in deliberately putting a large business enterprise so deeply in a hole. My gratification at having something to do with this mine is enhanced by our similar involvement in the Fairlane plant to be constructed a few miles south of here. One of the best things about this gathering today is that it is a happy crowd. We have come together here in the woods of northeastern Minnesota on a very happy occasion. We are about to launch an operation that will mean jobs, sales, tax revenue, and profits. The mine and plant will represent an investment of many millions. But that's just the beginning. Year in and year out, we expect to be paying about $11 million in wages, salaries, taxes, and royalties, and for the purchase of services and supplies. And these expenditures should have a salutary effect on the Eveleth, Virginia economy. The combination of the mine and mill operation will accomplish in a matter of hours the transmutation of iron-laden rock into iron-rich ore. Not only are we going to concentrate the ore as nature did in giving us the red ores of the Mesaba, we are also going to form that ore, as natural means could not, into the pellets that are so much more efficient in our blast furnaces. We are pleased that so many distinguished leaders of commerce and government in Minnesota should take time out from their many other duties to come out here and help us launch this new enterprise. It is good to know we have the support and the good wishes of men who make things happen in this state of Minnesota. I pledge in return our determination to be a good corporate citizen. We will be interested in the state's welfare as well as our own. We know that while a strong business can contribute much to the well-being of its community, the health of the business also depends upon the health of the community. Now, I've learned that the definition of a good speech is one with a good beginning and a good ending. but you keep them real close together. So with that in mind, I can only add, thank you again for joining us today. I hope that you enjoy your visit and that you will come back again when the thing is in full swing here at Thunderbird Mine and at the Fairlane plant of the new Eveleth Taconite Company. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. You know, if I can't tell whether this next speaker is my boss or my customer, I'm in an awful shape because he really is my boss. Edward W. Sloan, Jr., president of Ogilvie Norton, joined the company in 1935. He was named vice president, treasurer, and director in 1949. In 1956, he was elected executive vice president. He is also a vice president and a director of the Eveleth Taconite Company. In addition to serving on various committees in the mining and shipping industries, Mr. Sloan is presently chairman of the American Iron Ore Association, a director of the Lake Carriers Association, and of the National Coal Association. He has provided the leadership and guidance for our organization in the substantial expansion of its activities during the past 5 years, and in developing this project so that our company can continue its century-old tradition of active participation in Lake Superior iron mining. I'm very happy to introduce to you my boss, Pike Sloan.
Thank you, Jack. You're still on the payroll. Distinguished public officials, ladies and gentlemen, this occasion, of course, is a very momentous one for all of us, but I wish to speak of its importance to our company. In addition to the large investment of funds that represents our part of the ownership, we are also privileged to serve as the managing agent. We gladly accept this responsibility because managing iron ore operations has been our business since 1854. It was in 1892 that we handled the first shipment of iron ore from the Wasabi Range. Another interesting historical fact, I think, is that our company in the early 1890s had a crew exploring for iron ore on this very land. There is a record of 57 test pits having been dug, some to a depth of 22 feet, but with a disappointing showing of nothing but rock, as taconite was then described. Needless to say, there was no interest. Nothing but direct shipping ore could possibly have any value. But I think it would be unfair to interpret this as indicating a lack of foresight on the part of our predecessors. That would be pretty gross second-guessing. However, since we have become very familiar with taconite and have come to appreciate its importance and value, our early experience was in the formation of the Reserve Mining Company when we were drawing together the pieces in 1938 and 39 to establish that corporation. And in 12 subsequent years of experimentation and testing of the beneficiation and pelletizing processes for the Silver Bay operation in collaboration with the University of Minnesota Mines Experiment Station and many others. I'm happy to say that we continue a very close and a very satisfactory relationship with the Reserve Mining Company, which we value highly. Over these many years, many dramatic changes have occurred, which have required severe adjustments. You people of northeastern Minnesota know better than anyone else that adjustments are sometimes very painful. But what we are symbolizing here today is another constructive effort, and I am sure the forerunner of many others to follow, which will lift the heavy clouds of despair and substitute renewed opportunities for progress and advancement for a great many people of this area. One of our welcome duties, at the very top of the list of importance, is to make sure, as our president has said, that the Eveleth Taconite Company is a very good citizen, that it merits and continually deserves your cooperation and goodwill, and that you welcome and become proud of the big baby that's about to be born in your midst. In the final analysis, it's the people, how they regard one another, how they live and work and play together, that make for success. You can have the finest ore body, you can have the most modern processes and equipment, but only if you have the best of cooperation and goodwill can you win in this competitive world. One of the most important elements in our determination to proceed with this development was your reputation as skillful, energetic, responsible, and reliable people. I know that our partner, the Ford Motor Company, well deserves a similar reputation. And if you don't know it now, we intend to show you that Ogilvy Norton, too, is of the same character. The cooperation and assistance and pledges we have received from state, county, and local officials, and many others in the state and in this area, fully confirm our judgment, and we thank you for them. For you people and for our company, there is a very special, very deeply meaningful connotation to the slogan, "There is a Ford in your future." Let's do our very best together to see that there is a multitude of Fords in our collective futures. I thank you very much.